So you can turn in your Bibles to page 706. It's Ephesians chapter 4. But before we get there, we're going to do a little warm-up here. So there's been a few, three main things that we've been talking about every single week that's about this series. Because this series is really, how do we honor God with our relationships? And so we talked about boy-girl relationships for quite a bit. Last week we talked about our relationship with God. And today we're talking about relationships with others, okay, other people. So pretty broad. We're going to try to narrow it down a little bit. So in each of the talks, we want to have three things in mind. And one of them is the big question. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Terrible people. That's not the big question. Do you really want to hear from God? At least you're honest. Okay, so that's one of the questions. And you know what? It is totally okay to say, I don't know if I do. I'll tell you at the end of the talk. Okay? But it's one of the things we want to keep in mind. Do we really want to hear what God thinks? Or do we want to just kind of stick our fingers in our ears and play the five-year-old game? Like, la, 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 I can't hear you, right? My kids do, so. And my wife does it to me. So. No, just kidding. See, I can say that stuff because my wife's not here. And she doesn't listen to these things online, so. Okay, so that's the big question. And we get that from a place called Isaiah, or a place in the Bible, a book in the Bible called Isaiah. And the reason Isaiah said this, or asked the question, is because the people of God at the time were like, stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear what God says. We want you to tell us nice things that make us feel good. Okay? That's not what we're here for. And there's going to be some nice things that make you feel good, right? There is. But there's going to be some hard things, right? There's going to be some tough things that we got to wrestle through. The second thing is to have our vital perspective. And the question that's linked to the vital perspective, what does God want for us? And it's found in John 10:10. And what does it say? The thief comes only to kill, or steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Awesome. You guys are amazing. Okay, so when we're talking about our talks, we want to remember that God isn't trying to smash our fun. He's not trying to make us have a bad life. He's not this big cosmic killjoy that's wanting to wreck everything we're trying to do. That's not what God's about, okay? He actually wants you to have a full life. He wants you to live it to the fullest, which is just awesome to understand that this is what God wants for us. And the last is an essential understanding, and it's the understanding of why I'm here. Why am I here? And we find in the Bible it's to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Isn't that awesome? Enjoy Him forever. There's something about God that's just, it brings us joy. And it's because of this, His awesomeness. And so with those three things in mind, we set out into our last and final talk in this series. And it's called Loving Others. All right, so last week we talked about loving God. And Jesus said that the law and the prophets, which means the entire Bible, is summed up in two statements. You guys remember what those statements are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yep. And someone else? Nice. I didn't see who said that, but it was good. Exactly. Love your neighbor as yourself. All right. So those, seriously, that's amazing, right? That Jesus just boils it down to these two statements. That this is what the Bible is communicating to us. Love God and love one another. Pretty cool, hey? So today we're going to take the second part. Now, before we get into that, I just have a little thing that I think I need to talk about. Because last week, we kind of dropped a bomb on you guys, right? It was like, and I was like, whoa, you guys, some of you guys were reeling a little bit with what we had to talk about. And we talked about living in the light. And that was, there were some tough things that we learned from last week. And so I felt like, you know what, I need to start off this talk by kind of going back a little bit and helping you guys out a little bit. Here's the deal. I've experienced this a lot in my life, that sometimes the Bible doesn't line up with what my current beliefs are and my current experiences are. Sometimes it doesn't line up. And the question is, what do you do with that? So last week, for a lot of you guys, it's the first time you heard this stuff. The whole idea of living in the light, living in a way that you're not hiding anything, that you're not you don't have secret sins, you're not keeping things away from people so they don't see it because they're bad, right? And the Bible says, when we went through the Bible, it was like pretty powerful stuff that we talked about, because I mean, God is really, really clear. And the problem here's the issue: our culture preaches privacy and being hidden because they like to be in the dark, because it's stuff in our culture is sinful, right? They don't want to be exposed to the light. It doesn't feel good. And so for some of you guys, it was tough. It was tough. And here's what I want for you guys. There's a number of ways that we react when this happens, when our experience or our current belief system doesn't match up with the Bible. Number one, and this is the one I know some of you guys have done, I've done it in the past, is that we outright reject what's just been said. Now, I want you guys to know that the stuff we talked about last week isn't my opinion. I didn't make it up. Okay, that's important for you to understand. Like, I'm not just saying, so this is my take on this stuff. I mean, we read directly from the Word of God. In fact, directly from the mouth of Jesus about what it means to live in the light and what it means to live in darkness and what it means to hide your life from other people and the things in your life. It was clear, okay? So for some of you guys, well, I don't agree with Chris. And you know what? I care, but essentially that's not so bad. I don't mind if you disagree with me. But where it becomes difficult is when it isn't me, right? Now, you might have disagreed with a few of the things that I said beside the living in the light stuff, but what the Bible said, that's not disagreeing with me. That's disagreeing with God, and that's where we need to wrestle. And by the way, that's not necessarily bad, okay? There has to be room for you guys to wrestle through stuff, because what happens if you've been living your life a certain way and you have a certain belief system and you have certain experiences, and then pow, you get nailed by something in the Bible and you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Our first reaction, mine too, is like, whoa, 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 hold on a second. It can't mean that, or God must mean something else, or because I'm trying to justify my own behavior, right? I'm trying to justify my own beliefs, my own experience, and so it's difficult for me to go like, how do I navigate this? And so I just wanted to give you guys just a really short couple of tools in regards to how do you do this. One, don't feel guilty about wrestling through something when you've just heard something that just rattled you a little bit. And I plead with you, don't do that first reaction where you just completely reject it. Because I want you to, like, my hope is that we have an open mind. Let's open our minds, especially to what God has to say. Because there's a number of influences in your life that have, we'll call them weight. They have a lot of weight, okay? There's lots of influences. So movies have quite a bit of weight. Your parents have lots of weight. Sorry, that's kind of funny thinking about it. It's like, yeah, we have junior highs here. You guys should have thought of that before me. But there's people and things and influences in your life that hold lots of weight. How much weight does God's word hold in your life is the real question. And so, like I said, don't just gobble up what we're saying here. I want you to wrestle through it and think about it. Don't reject it. I want you to wrestle and think about it and actually open your mind to what God has. Because remember, God wants fullness for you. He doesn't want to wreck your fun. He doesn't want to mess with you. He's not like the ant bully that's got a magnifying glass and is like, yeah, look at him squirm. That's not what he's about. He wants us to live in the light because he knows it's beneficial for us. And so I want you guys to just take that and think about it and weigh it. Weigh what God says with greater weight than what our culture says, what you've learned growing up in this culture, what your experience has been, what your current belief system is. And that's going to make you wrestle through it. And I want that's important. Because here's the deal, guys. If you don't wrestle through that, it's probably not going to be yours. If you just adopt it and go like, okay, yeah, I'm good. That's mine now. More than likely, when it comes to some testing, you're going to be like, oh, why did I believe that again? Whatever, right? But if you wrestle through it, if you think about it, you pray about it, you go like, okay, God, is this for real?
is this what you want for me? And then if so, how do I live then? How does it look like? What does it look like in my life? That's what I'm asking you guys to do. And so I don't want you to gobble up just what we're saying without thinking about it. We want you to think for yourself. But I really don't want you just to drink the Kool-Aid of the culture, right? And just kind of go with what everyone else believes. I mean, we live in a real sinful culture, and we have to be careful with that. So is that good, you guys? Is that help from last week? Yeah? No? Because it's some tough stuff, right? So when we come up to things that it's hard for us to understand or hard for us to grasp and doesn't match with our belief systems and our cultural upbringing and our experience, that's the point where we need to go like, okay, I got to sort this out. Don't close your mind off to God. Like keep it open to Him. Sound good? Can we do that? Because we don't want to be like the people in the book of Isaiah, right? We're like, no. Stop confronting us with what God says and what God wants, right? We don't want to do that. We know what happened to them. If you don't, you can look it up. These people ended up getting annihilated, right? Because God was just, he's fed up with them. He's like, how can I be these people's God when they just keep rejecting me and pushing me away? No, I don't want this. So wrestle through it. Talk about it. Talk through it with close friends. Talk through it with people who love Jesus, your leaders, people who are maybe a little bit further down the road than you are in life. Talk to them about it. So anyway, I felt like I needed to do that for last week's talk. So this week, wow. We're like 15 minutes into the talk almost. I'm half done. We haven't started. All right. So one more thing. I just want to read to you. This is the Bible. This is how the Bible views the Word of God, which is the Word of God, by the way. Interesting. But anyway, in Psalm 19, this is how the psalmist, David, he was a king in Israel a long time ago. He was a poet, and he wrote this about God. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. It's awesome, right? We're going to glorify, like our purpose here is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Well, part of that is He gives us joy in our heart. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. So that's kind of the take. Obviously that dude really likes the Bible, right? He's like, wow, this is awesome. This is what it does for me. And this is what it can do for you. It can revive your soul. It can give freshness to your life. All right, it's enough about that, right? I don't want to beat the dead horse here. Okay, so let's get into it. So you still got your finger in your Bible at, what page was it? 706. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I don't have time to do this whole passage. So I'm going to read through the first part, and then we're going to camp. Because the first part I've actually put in your small group, because I knew I wouldn't have time to do it. Okay, so you're going to talk about the first part in your group. So I'm just going to read through it. You guys can discuss it in your small groups. So right at the top, it says, living as children of light. With the Lord's authority, I say this. So that's pretty weighty, right? You talk about weight. That's a lot of weight, the Lord's authority. Live no longer as the Gentiles do. The Gentiles simply means people who are not Jews. And he's talking about people who are worship, like in, this is 2,000 years ago, right? So they're worshiping these false idols, and they have this whole religious system. For they are hopelessly confused. So for us, it's like we look at our culture. Let's adapt this to our culture. We're looking at our culture. These people don't love God. And the Bible's saying it's because they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Now, you're going to talk about that in your small group, so I'm not going to try to explain that. Which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit, he's talking about God here, renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous, which means like a right kind of living, and holy. which means to be set apart. So God set us apart to live a different way. Stop telling lies. That's pretty direct, is it not? Let us tell our neighbors the truth. Okay, so now we're starting to get into how we relate to each other. For we are all part of the same body. The Bible tells us that the church, or people, not the building. When we say church, we mean the people of the church, not the building. The church, or is called the body of Christ. It's because there's unity in this body, that we're one. This is a really interesting concept. I can't go into it, but if you come on Sundays, you can learn about it, because this is what we're talking about on Sundays. It's at 10:30, by the way. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Okay, so that's your small group stuff. So here's where we're going to get into some things. So just before we get into this text, there's a few things that Paul's going to let us in. Paul was an apostle. He wrote this letter. It was written to the people in Ephesus, which, by the way, is still partly standing. In fact, I visited Ephesus in 2010. It's like cool. It's awesome. It was like this incredible city, marble, just amazing. Very cool. I don't have time to get into details. But he's writing to the Christians in Ephesus. And this is what he says. Don't use foul or abusive language. So he's starting into telling us how to treat each other. Okay? And he's saying, here's what this whole first part means. Words matter. The way you talk to people and the way you talk about them matters. It really does. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So what he's talking about, he says, this is the type of life that God wants us to live. When we talk about people and to people, he wants them to be encouraged. And just think about our culture, you guys. This is like really foreign, right? People don't talk and encourage each other. It's mostly we bash each other and put each other down, right? And that's kind of the nature of our culture. It's kind of a tough one, right? Because that's like, whoa, that's different. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own. So if you are a Christian, then what Paul is saying here is that you belong to Jesus, that he has adopted you, that you are his own. Which is really cool, because he's not instructing us as this judge going like, do this or get this. I'm the judge. You're all going to pay. Right? That's not the God that we have. Okay? Our God has revealed, yes, there is, he is a judge, but he's also revealed to us as a loving father. Okay? And so when we read this, we go like, he's adopted us. He hasn't just saved us, because If you haven't been in church very much, you probably haven't heard this language very much, but people talk about being saved or that kind of language. What they're talking about is that God saved us from our sinful life and the slavery we experienced in it, as well as in the future that God has saved us from hell, and that he saved us to this life of this full life, that he saves us to that, as well as an afterlife with him in heaven, right? So that's kind of what he's getting at here. Remember, he has identified you as his own because you belong to him, guaranteeing, so this is what it means to belong to him, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So that when we come before God and he confronts us and we come up to the judge, and the Bible says that Jesus is going to be the judge, we don't try to go like, hey, I lived a good life. I'm a good person. You're not going to get in that way, okay? Here's what happens when you come before the throne of God, the judgment throne of God, and you're a Christian. You've already been declared not guilty. And why is that? Because all of your sins, all of your shame, everything that you've ever done wrong has already been paid for. It's been finished. And so when you come before the judge, it's like, this person's clean. He gets in. But it's not because of anything you did. It's because when you become a Christian, you get Jesus' goodness and his holiness and his rightness. And you give him your wrongness and your sin and your uncleanliness and everything dirty in you goes to him. It's called the great exchange. And that is a great exchange, right? Because I don't want that stuff in my life. I want to be clean like him. I want to be pure. I want to be free from all of these things that cause me to stumble and crush the life out of me. I want to be free from that stuff. And this is what he offers us. And so he gives us this incredible newness of life. Get rid of all bitterness. Okay, so in this last part, we're going to talk about a few things that are out. If you're a follower of Jesus, here's a few things that you got to boot out of your life. Okay? Number one is bitterness. Okay, we're not bitter people. If you're a follower of Jesus and there's bitterness in you, you need to deal with it. You need to bring it to Jesus and bring it to another person. Again, we're a body of believers. We live in community with one another. We're not here to heap judgment on each other. We're here to point each other towards Jesus and go like, hey, if you have sin in your life, here's the cross. Let's take it together. Let's get rid of this sin. That's what it means to confess your sin to one another, by the way, with another Christian, is that you take it to Jesus together. And you lay it at the cross. We don't go heap judgment on each other. Like, I can't believe you did that. Right? That's not what we're about. Right? We take it together. We're like, let's take it to Jesus. Let's give it to him. And so as you confess your sins with another Christian, this is what the Bible says to us, in a few different places, especially in the New Testament, that we confess our sins to each other, but we do it for the purpose of taking it to Jesus and helping each other along in this life. So bitterness, we've got to get rid of that. Bitterness is out. Rage. Rage is out. Now, is that a pretty obvious one? Right? Rage. I'm just thinking, that probably doesn't do anybody a lot of good, right? Because rage becomes our master, right? When you're full of rage, you are not in control of yourself. Rage is. You are a slave to your rage. And so Paul is saying, rage has got to go. It can't stay in us. We belong to Jesus, and he wants us, well, we'll find out what he wants us to do, but essentially he wants us to love others, right? This is the deal. Love others. Anger. I don't know, what's the difference between rage and anger? I think rage is up here, and maybe anger's down here. But this is a type of angry that's like, you've got an angry heart. Like, you're just angry all the time. And for most of you guys don't drive, but if you have some problems driving and you're angry driver, that, you know, that's not because of everyone else is a poor driver, even maybe they are, I don't know. It's because there's anger in your heart. And Jesus says that, you know, the things that we do are from the heart. They're not because of the circumstances around us. So you can blame everyone else for your anger, but the anger actually stems from your heart. So that's why he's saying, it's got to go. Because we'll get to the reason why, the whole heart thing, in a minute. Harsh words. You know what? I thought I'd kind of got rid of this one. And then I had kids. And man, I have apologized to my kids so much. I was like, I am so sorry. It is so hard to be a parent, you guys. Give your parents a little slack at times. It is so hard. You love them so much. And yet, you're still becoming more like Jesus. He's still working on you as a parent. And so sometimes it's really hard. And man, when I'm harsh with my kids, I got to go back and like, I'm so sorry. Daddy should not be harsh. I want to be firm, but I want to be gentle. That's my goal. But it isn't always like that. And so harsh words, sometimes I got to repent from that. And so you guys can probably be thinking, yeah, I've had a few harsh words in the past. So I want to let you guys know, I'm like, when I'm talking about this stuff, including the stuff from last week, Living in Light, I'm with you. I'm not up here talking down to you. Literally, I am. But like, what we're talking about, what? You guys don't think that's funny? What we're talking about, I'm with you. This is difficult for me too. So when I'm reading this stuff, I'm going like, this has got me too. So if you're feeling it, if you're like, I got that in my life and I got that in my life, the issue is that we take it to the cross, right? We deal with our sin by taking it to Jesus. And so I got to do this stuff too. Like, I just admitted to you about harsh words. So I'm in it with you guys. And slander, right? So slander, writing stuff. Oh, big time in right now. So, you know, slander is just off the charts in our culture, you guys. How many of you guys have, like, Facebook account? Yeah? Twitter? How about some sort of social media? Get them up there. Some sort of social media. Is not the slander on that thing horrifying? Well, Pinterest, probably not as much slander. But it's still there, right? People just find that it's just, because it's not face-to-face, they just seem to write anything. And then cyberbullying has become, like, just nuts. And some of you guys, if you really experience it, it's tough stuff, right? And he's like, you got to stop that. They're in texting, social media, writing notes, whatever it is. You guys still write notes? You're like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry. Yes. Any form of writing, it's just like, you don't write terrible things about people. Whether it's on social media, whether, you know, it's gossip is what it is, gossip in written form. We don't want to do that. He says, as children of light, don't do that. Don't live that sort of life. All right. And just in case you're sitting there going like, I'm doing pretty well. I don't have any of these things in my life. You're like, check, 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 check. I'm good. He ends it with this and crushes all of us, as well as all. There, you got us all. As well as all types of evil behavior. Like, what? Just about made it, but couldn't make it. So the reason I think he added that is because of people who are really religious who are going just feel good about going like, yep, that's me, that's me, that's me, I don't have to worry. And then he's like, all forms of evil behavior. And the Bible says all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? So now we're all in the same category. We're all there. So he's like, this is the stuff you need to work to get out of your life. Okay, it doesn't leave right away. For instance, I still struggle with those harsh words from time to time. I still got to repent to my kids and my wife. And some of you guys have said some harsh stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, words for me are tough. Okay, so here's the good stuff. Instead, so if this is not how God wants us to live, how does he want us to live? So where does the full life, how does he want us to treat each other and love each other? Here it is. It's very simple. Be kind to each other. What a novel idea, right? So at the start of this message, I said, if there's grade sixes here, let's like welcome them. Let's like make them feel at home. Essentially, let's just be kind to them and go like, we love you. Come on in. We want you to be part of this place, this group, right? There you go. We even had a hug just now. Awesome. So let's be kind. Hey, guys. Would this not be an awesome, in fact, you know what, this youth group does pretty well, but we can still do better at being kind to each other. Man, you come into a place where people are mean to each other and their words are harsh. I mean, you don't really want to come back. But if you come back and people are encouraging you and the words are kind and their actions are kind, changes everything. Because where do you go in the world and have that happen to you? Like nowhere, right? At least nowhere that where they don't want to get something from you, right? Where they're not trying to lure you into something and pretending to be nice. Okay, so kind to each other. Tender-hearted. So when we're going through tough stuff, we're tender-hearted. We're compassionate. We're empathetic towards people going through hard things. That's why we don't want to use harsh words or be harsh, especially when we're bringing sin to God and going like, this is in my life. I need to get rid of it. We don't be harsh and judgmental. You're like, oh, let's go to Jesus. Let's pray this. Let's get this out of your life. So we're tender-hearted. We really care about each other. Forgiving one another. Now, I think progressively they get harder, right? Being kind, we can be kind. Tender-hearted, that's a little tougher. It's tougher to be tender-hearted. Maybe more so for guys. I don't know. That sounds, lame a little bit. I'm like, tender-hearted. Yeah, but we need to be. But forgiving one another, that gets tough, right? Because if people have done stuff against you, to you, that's tough because you want to hold on to that stuff. You do not want to give them forgiveness. So here's the thing with forgiveness, and we'll finish up here in a couple minutes. Forgiveness, the reason I think it's the toughest one is because I don't think, especially when there's some big things that have been done against you, that forgiveness just happens like that, and you're like, I've forgiven this person, we're good to go. Sometimes that happens, but that's really rare.
So here's how forgiveness works, you guys, for us. Now, God forgives us, and yeah, he doesn't hold it against us. That's awesome. We need to try to do that, but it's not the same for us, right? Because what happens is we let it go, and then we're like, I think I'll pick this up again. Grr, I can't believe this person did to me. And then we're like, oh, Lord, I need to forgive them again. And put it down. And then a little while later, we're like, maybe like 30 seconds. I got to put it down. So that's what we're talking about here is forgiveness is a road, okay? And so what God wants us to do is walk this road. We want to walk the road of forgiveness. And so every time we feel that angst and we feel that that bitterness rising up in us, we go like, no. I forgive them. I forgive them. And we keep walking that road and we ask God to help us because you cannot forgive people on your own strength. There is no way. Especially if they've done something really devastating to you. You can't forgive them on your own strength. But good news for those of you who are Christians, God is the one who will help you to forgive. Because, yeah, why in the world would we try to forgive on our own when we got a God who is like A+ in forgiveness going like, hey, I'm here to help you guys. I want to help you forgive. God wants to do that. So he wants you to walk the road with him. Like, let's forgive this. Yeah, you picked it up. All right, let's put it down again. And that's the road of forgiveness. And the heavier the thing has been done to you, sometimes the harder it is to forgive. And so that's what he's talking about. He says, forgive each other. Just like this. Just imagine what type of community this is, guys. Just think of this. People are being kind to one another. They're tender hearted, so they really care about what's going on in your life and your heart. They care if you're going through depression, and they care if something has happened to you that's horrific, and they care if something amazing happens to you and they rejoice with you. They're like, yes, they're not jealous or envious. They're like, yes, that's awesome for you. I love it. This is the type of people that God wants us to be. Now here's the kicker. What Paul's getting at here is not a list of behaviors and do's and don'ts. Because I know some of you are going like, what? Didn't we just talk about do's and don'ts? Kind of. Here's the deal. This is what we know about Paul, about Jesus, who Paul loved, and really what this whole book is about Jesus. What Jesus wants, and this is why I think he talked about you belonging to him, what Jesus wants is for your heart to change. Because this is what Jesus said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is why I said earlier that the anger isn't just circumstances that happen to you. The anger comes from within. James tells us that sin starts in here and it grows and it comes out. It starts in your heart. So if you have anger, if you have harsh words, if you have gossiping problem, that's a heart problem. And by saying, I'm not going to gossip anymore, and that's it, that's not what he's getting at. He's not saying just, okay, X off these, and if you do this, then you're all good. He wants you to become the type of person who is kind, not who just does kind deeds, who is kind, who is tenderhearted, and who is forgiving. And that can only happen if God changes your heart. And that is hard work, you guys. That's why it takes a lifetime for this stuff to happen. This doesn't happen overnight. That's why forgiveness is a road. Kindness, it's a journey, right? It's a journey in growing in kindness. We can never get to the point where we're like, I have attained all kindness. I'm here and you are there. Right? Because that's the measurement. We're already filled with pride at that point, right? At least I was in that voice. But when we measure kindness, let's measure it to God's kindness. God's kindness is unbelievable. The fact that there's still an earth, although this earth has completely rebelled against him and it's full of sin, the fact that we're still here is because of God's kindness. That he allows us to actually seek out and find him. Well, really, he finds us. But so God, that's what God wants. He wants to have your heart change. See, God's not looking for you to just to modify your behavior, because that's just your personal appearance and how you look in front of other people. What God's looking at is in here. He knows where your stuff originates. He desires us to live with peace. This is what he's getting at. I want you to be peaceful people. I want you to live in peace with other people. Just imagine that, you guys. If there was no, like, tension between people, if there wasn't any, like, bitterness, if there wasn't any anger, if there wasn't any
hatred, if there wasn't any of these things, this is what he's getting at. Imagine what kind of community this would be. Imagine what kind of youth group. Guys, let's just boil it down. Imagine what kind of youth group this could be if we just took those three things and said, God, change my heart and make me a kind person. Make me tenderhearted and make me forgiving. Would that not be an awesome place to be? Would you guys want to go there? To a community like that? Would you want to be a part of that? No? Where people are kind? You want them to be mean? No, we all gravitate towards that, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Where we could come and go like, man, there's stuff in my life. And people would be like, okay, come, let's deal with it. Let's take it to Jesus in a kind-hearted, awesome way. Isn't that cool? You guys are just like silent. What's going on? Is it too nice outside? Yes, no. Yeah, except in Roadhog. We don't have to be kind then. No, I'm just kidding. But, nice. That is kind-hearted? No, it's not. It's mustache-hearted. I must ask you a question, but I'll shave it for later. All right. So that's what we got. So my encouragement to you guys is to think about these things. You're going in your small group. You're going to talk about that first section that we talked about. But the whole deal is this. God wants us to become the type of person who is kind. Not just kind. We're just not trying to be kind. He wants to do it through us. God wants to work in your heart. But you got to let him. You got to ask him. Sound good? Yes? Can I pray for you guys? All right. Let's go. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. They are awesome. Just ask that as they go to their small groups that you would give our leaders wisdom and kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness as we pursue some of these things that you've laid out for us. I pray there'd be good discussion. And this would, Lord, really, what we want this youth group to be is just what you've just explained. In fact, you're telling us this is the way you want your church to be. So, Lord, could you do that for us? Could you make us into these type of people who are kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving? Lord, could you please do that for this group? We want to see what happens when that happens here. So Lord, we just ask that, and we know that starts with heart change. And so, Lord, we just pray you do that. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to your small groups.